The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter number 12, texts number 5 and 6, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari, recorded on September 21st, 2014, in Vrindavan, India.
I've noticed they only put text 6 on the board, so I will read through text 5, and then we will congregationally chant text 6. First, we will do the word for word. Brahmana uvacha ayam jana nama chalam prithivyam ya parteva parteva kasya heto tasya api cha angriyo adhi kulpa jangha janu uru madhyara shiradhara angsa angse adhi darvi shibika cha yasyam savira raja iti apadesha aste yasmin bhavan rudha nija abhimana raja asmi sindushu iti durmada antha. Brahmana uvacha ayam jano namachalam prithivyam ya parativa parativa kashya heto tasyapi cham griyar adhikulpa jangha janavru madhuru shiradharamsa angse didarvi shipika chatasyam sarvirya raja japadesha aste yasmin bhavan ruddha nija abhimano. Rad, well, I'm not giving you a chance to repeat. Go back. Am se di darvi shibika tachashyam. Sarvira raja yapadesha aste. Yasmin ravad ruddha nijam vimano. Rajasmi sindu shuvitti durmadhanta Anseri darvi shipika chachashyam Sarvira raja yapadesha aste Yasmin bhavan ruddha jija mamano Rajasmi sindu shviti durmadhanta. Brahmana uvacha. The Brahmana said, I am this jana person, nama, celebrated as such, shalan, moving. Prithivyam, on the earth, iya, who, parteva, a transformation of the earth, parteva, O king, who possesses a similar earthly body, kashya, for what, heto, reason, tashya api, of him also, cha, and angriyo, feet, adhi, above, kulpa, ankles, Janka calves, Janu knees, Uru thighs, Madhura waist, Shiradhara neck, Amsa shoulders, Amse shoulder, Adhi upon, Darvi made of wood, Shibika palanquin, Cha and Yasyam on which, Savararaja the king of Savira. Iti thus Upadesha known as Aste there is Yasmin in which Vavam your lordship Rudha imposed upon Nija Abhimana having a conception of false prestige. Raja Asmi, I am the king. Sindhushu, in the state of Sindhu. Iti, thus, Durmada Andha, captivated by false prestige. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The self-realized Brahman, Jad Bhadat said, among the various material combinations and permutations, there are various forms and earthly transformations. For some reason, these move on the surface of the earth and are called palanquin carriers. Those material manifestations which do not move are gross material objects like stones. In any case, the material body is made of earth and stone in the form of feet, ankles, calves, knees, thighs, torso, throat, and head. Upon the shoulders is the wooden palanquin, and within the palanquin is the so-called king of Savira. The body of the king is simply another transformation of earth. But within that body, your lordship is situated in falsely thinking that you are the king of the state of Savira. Purport. After analyzing the material bodies of the palanquin quarry or the palanquin passenger, Jad Bharat concludes that the real living force is the living entity. The living entity is the offshoot or offspring of Lord Vishnu. Therefore, within this material world, among moving and non-moving things, the real principle is Lord Vishnu. Due to his presence, everything is working, and there are actions and reactions. One who understands Lord Vishnu is the original cause of everything is to be understood to be perfectly situated in knowledge. Although he was falsely proud of being a king, King Mahugana was not really situated in knowledge. Therefore, he was rebuking the palanquin carriers, including the self-realized Brahmana Jad Bharat. This is the first accusation Jad Bharat made against the king, who was daring to talk to a learned Brahmin from the flimsy ground of ignorance, identifying everything with matter. King Mahugana argued that the living entity is within the body, and that when the body is fatigued, the living entity within must therefore be suffering. It is clearly explained in the following verses that the living entity does not suffer due to the body's fatigue. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti gives the example of a child heavily decorated with ornaments. Although the child's body is very delicate, he does not feel fatigue, nor do the parents think that his ornaments should be taken away. The living entity has nothing to do with bodily pains and pleasures. These are simply mental concoctions. An intelligent man will find the original cause of everything. Material combinations and permutations may be a matter of fact in worldly dealings, but actually the living force, the soul, has nothing to do with them. Those who are materially upset take care of the body and manufacture deridden Narayan, poor Narayan. However, it is not a fact that the soul or super soul becomes poor simply because the body is poor. These are the statements of ignorant people. The soul and super soul are always apart from bodily pleasure and pain. This is pretty amazing information, really. Very, very amazing information. Prabhupada is explaining how the living entity has nothing to do with bodily pains and pleasures. This reminds me of one lecture I often hear. I have a recording of that lecture handy. I often hear this lecture. Prabhupada explains how the self-realized devotee does not even feel the pains and pleasures of the body. So we can measure our own level of self-realization by how much we're feeling the pains and pleasures of the body. Is it? Just like right now I have a pain in my knee. I can understand how self-realized I am. You see, I'm feeling this pain in my knee. I'm still thinking, yeah, I have this pain, you see. But actually the I and the body are completely separate. You see. The difficulty is we have been locked into this bodily consciousness for millions and billions and trillions and quadrillions and sextillions and zillions of lifetimes. We're just completely convinced that we're these bodies. Maya Devi has done a very, very expert programming job on us. She's really brainwashed us very well, isn't it? So now we have to get free of Maya Devi's brainwashing. We have to take Prabhupada's brainwashing. You see. Wash away all this dirt, all this lust, this anger, this greed, this madness, illusion, envy, which is torturing us, tormenting us. You see. I mean, there's no reason why we shouldn't taste unlimited nectar right now in the association of Krishna, because actually he's present. Krishna is present. This is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita. Ekopyaso rachavitam jagananda kotyam yatchakta rasti jagananda chaya yadanta andanta rasta paramanu chayanta rastam govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. He is an undifferentiated entity, as there is no distinction between potency and the possessor thereof. In his work of creation of millions of worlds, his potency remains inseparable. All the universes exist in him, and he is present in his fullness. In every one of the atoms that is scattered throughout the universes at one and the same time. So there's nowhere where Krishna is not present, according to the great authority, the head of Arsampadaya, Lord Brahma. Everything exists within Krishna, and Krishna exists within everything in fullness. So what's the difficulty? Why we're not experiencing Krishna at every minute? What is the difficulty? You see?
I'm great!
You see? This false pride. I'm the center of the universe. I mean, you know, everything revolves around me, Prabhu, right? It all revolves around me. This is the illusion, you see. We think we're the center of the universe. I mean, it starts as little kids. I mean, you ever see a little kid, you know, some of the neighbor kids come over to play with him, and they come into his room and they take a look at his toys. And as soon as they start looking at his toys, he goes, "Mine!" Isn't it? This false sense of proprietorship is there from the very babyhood, you see. So we have to give this up. This is actually the cause of all the problems going on in the world right now. Just like this thing with ISIS in the Middle East, you see. in so many places, the Ukraine, all these conflicts going on in the world, it is due to this false sense of proprietorship. I am the Lord. I am the owner. What do we come with when we come to this world? What do you bring with you when you come to the world? Nothing. What do you take with you? Nothing. What do you claim in the middle? Everything. Isn't it? As much as I can grab a hold of, I claim it as mine. Competing with everybody else, you see. It's crazy. It's madness. It's illusion. It's insanity. Therefore, Krishna says, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Sarva Loka Maheshvaram Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam Gyatvamam Shantram Richtati. Only that person who knows me as the supreme proprietor, the supreme enjoyer, and the Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam, the best friend of all living entities, can be, only that person can be peaceful. Anybody who doesn't come to this understanding that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, proprietor, and friend, that person can never have peace of mind. Never. They may have artificial peace of mind, you see. Temporarily. But no one in this material world can have genuine peace of mind unless they acknowledge Krishna, the supreme proprietor. This consciousness is called Krishna consciousness. You see. Understand who is the actual proprietor. You see. So instead of looking at a beautiful girl and thinking, I'd like to really enjoy her, think, no, she is to be enjoyed by Krishna, not by me. You see. Or see some wealthy man with his Mercedes, think, oh, I'd really like to have that Mercedes. No. Everything is the property of Krishna. Everything is meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. So we have to engage in the process known as sadhana bhakti, devotional service in practice, to gradually come to that stage where we can fully absorb everything in the service of Krishna. We cannot jump artificially to some liberated platform. If you do, you'll fall flat on your face. You'll be a failure, you see. You have to go through the prescribed system given by Rupa Goswami. He lists 64 items in the Nectar of Devotion. Actually, in the Bhaktivedanta Sindhu, repeated by Srila Prabhupada in the Nectar of Devotion. Here's the first 10, the most important of the 10 items of what you have to do if you want to realize Krishna. First of all, take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. That's the number one thing. Adau Garashvayam. First step. Second step, get initiated. The third step, well, what do you have to do? Do you have to follow his instructions or you can take him or leave them? No, you have to obey the spiritual master. The third step is you follow the instructions of the spiritual master. Now, is the spiritual master a standalone entity? No, he's a representative of a tradition. So the fourth step is, under his guidance, you follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. Just like in our ISKCON, we have many spiritual masters, and they engage their disciples in following Srila Prabhupada, you see. This is the fourth item. Spiritual master engages the disciples in following the footsteps of the previous acharyas. The fifth step, that is to be prepared to give up anything you would not like to give up. I really like sleeping late in the morning. I mean, you know, after the sun comes up, I kind of get out of bed. No, you have to give that up, you see. I don't want to accept it, but I accept it. Or I really like drinking tea, but I, you know, I have to give that up, you see. Chai, bye, you see. Tea, forget it, you see. So you have to be prepared to give up something you would not like to give up or accept something you'd not like to accept. You see, that's the fifth item. The sixth item is, we only deal with the material world insofar as necessary. Okay, you're a householder, you have to go out and work. Okay, it's fine. You're a manager, you have to deal with the government. Okay, only do what you need to. And spend the maximum amount of time hearing, chanting, preaching, etc. Is he serving? Only deal with the material world insofar as it's absolutely necessary and not anything more than that. You see, you don't need to go to catch a football game or a cinema. You see, not necessary. The next item is to... This is pretty tough. You got to live in Vrindavan. Jive. If you're here, and for all of us who are living here, you've already got that one covered. You have to live in Vrindavan or Dwarka, it says in the Nectar Devotion. You have to reside in Vrindavan, or of course Mayapur will also do. It's not different from Vrindavan. But what if you live in New York City or Chicago or Delhi? What am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to forget about it and pack up and move to Vrindavan? Well, if you can do that, great. But if not, it's not practical, and maybe you're preaching there, you're a temple president in someplace. For preaching, we have to go to so many places. Otherwise, we just live in Vrindavan. But for preaching, we have to go here and there, or for earning livelihoods, we have to go here and there. So that's okay. You make your home, you associate with the ISKCON temple, which is an extension. The ISKCON centers are extensions of Vrindavan all over the world. So you go to your ISKCON center. If you live in your ISKCON center, great. If you can't, then you go there as much as possible and make your home an extension of your ISKCON center. You see? Make your home a Vrindavan atmosphere. Have an altar. Offer your food. We don't recommend deities and let take your spiritual master's permission. But if you have nice photographs or if you want deities, you're going to tide. You take Radha Krishna, it gets very complicated, and you have to do so many things to not commit offense. So keep it simple. Have a simple altar with photographs, or if you want deities, get Gornatai deities. In this way, you make a spiritual atmosphere in your home. You make it an ashram. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a householder. He was working a job for the British government. He said, now I'm earning my livelihood to support Krishna's household. So this is the move, you see. You have to give up the false sense of proprietorship. This is my wife, this is my bank balance, this is my car, this is my house. That's Maya. Give it up. You have to see everything as the property of Krishna. It doesn't matter if you're a brahmachari, a sannyasi, a vanaprastha, grahastha, whatever position you're in, you have to see everything that you deal with as the energy of Krishna and engage everything in Krishna's service. If you do so, you're a sannyasi. Even if you don't have a dandam, you're a sannyasi in consciousness. We want everyone to be sannyasis here in this country. We want all to be, everyone should be sannyasi, either in dress or in consciousness. Everyone's sannyasi. This is Krishna consciousness. So then the next item is, you should observe Ekadashi. No grains or beans. Papa told us in Dallas, well, that the real Ekadashi is no eating, no drinking water, no sleeping. But he never introduced that in our society. In fact, in the old days, maybe Panchagoda remembers, in the old days we used to have a feast on Ekadashis. Remember that? Have an Ekadashi feast. Ekadashi was a feast. Ekadashi, feast day. We used to have fried peanuts and carrot halva and some kind of potato. That was the Ekadashi feast. And what else? I'm so deaf I can't make it up. Huh? You do that here also? No, very good. Very good. So Ekadashi means a feast. And then later, Prabhupada didn't tell us we even had to do Nirjala Ekadashi. It was one of our sannyasis, I think it was Tamal Krishna Maharaj, pushed that after Prabhupada left. And it's kind of cool, actually. The Nirjala is pretty ecstatic. Especially if I like the breakfast when the sun comes up the next morning. It's the ultimate prasadam. So that's and then the tenth item is to worship the Tulsi tree or the banyan tree. Do you have a banyan tree here? No. So Tulsi tree is practical. You see. We did have a banyan tree in Miami in our temple there, but still we worship the Tulsi. It mentioned in the scripture to worship the banyan or the Tulsi. But if you engage in these 10 items, and Prabhupada says, especially the first three, you see, those are the most essential items. To take shelter of Guru, to get initiated by Guru, and to obey the spiritual master. If you take care of these three things, at least those three, you do those with full sincerity of attitude, then you'll become fixed up in Krishna consciousness. In fact, Prabhupada even gave me a wonderful hint in one letter many years ago when I was in Dallas as a young brahmachari. Prabhupada received a wonderful letter from Prabhupada. He told me, if you will engage with 24 hours a day in the service of the Lord with full sincerity of attitude, Krishna will personally come and answer all of your questions. Jai, I'm still working on that one. I'm still praying for that day when Krishna will personally come, because I still have many questions. Especially the fifth canto, I have a lot of questions about that. But it'd be really nice to come to that stage, and Prabhupada told me that stage, I can come to that stage. So, that's a fact, we can all come to that stage where Krishna will personally come. We simply have to take up this process very, very seriously. Take the holy name chanting as the most ecstatic adventure of our eternal existence, actually. Here we have been caught up in this karma chakra for millions and billions of lifetimes, and now Krishna has so kindly come as Nam, Krishna Nam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. We can directly associate with God right now. You don't have to wait. You can do it right now. You can personally associate with the Supreme Lord Himself immediately. You see? Just see how kind is Krishna. Just see how kind is Srila Prabhupada to give us this access to the Supreme Lord. I was raised as a Christian, and you know, we believed in God and the greatness of God. But when I read the Bhagavad Gita, I was completely amazed. Patram pushpandram tayam. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, a fruit or water, I will accept it. I was going, wow. They never taught me that in church and Sunday school, that I could directly offer. God was so far away, you could never approach Him. You know, some big mountain somewhere, you know, you could never approach Him. But now, the Bhagavad Gita, God Himself is saying, you can directly give me this, and I'll take it, if you offer it with love. So I started doing that. So this is pretty cool. Started offering my food. I hadn't even met the devotees yet, but I was really inspired by this idea that you could offer your food to Krishna and He would accept it. And then shortly after that, I met the devotees. By Krishna's grace, I met them in Golden Gate Park in San Francisco, the Harinam party, coming back from their kirtan at Hippie Hill. Big, huge Harinam party. I met these wonderful devotees. It's just beautiful, like coming out of some wonderful... coming out of a movie, you know, this very, very beautiful and colorful, festive scene. It was amazing. These devotees coming out of Golden Gate Park, singing and dancing in ecstasy. So this is the great mercy of Lord Chaitanya. We do not have to execute great penances and austerities for thousands and millions of years. Do you know how long it takes to actually get Brahman realization? Or to become fully realized as a yogi? This is described in Lord Brahma in the Brahma Samhita, text number 34 in chapter 5. He says, what is that? He says that just not forgetting the Sanskrit. The English goes that, how does it begin? Pantastukoti shatavatsadasam praganyo. So pyasti yat prapapachin yabachin tatat ve govindam adipurusham tambahamajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord. Only the tip of the toe of whose lotus feet is approached by the yogis who aspire after the transcendental and betake themselves to pranayama by drilling the respiration, or by the jnanis who try to find out the non-differentiated Brahman by the process of elimination of the mundane extending over thousands of millions of years. Can you imagine going on for thousands of millions of years trying to realize the Absolute? And Bhakti Sanatana Saraswati Thakur explains in his purport, they don't really touch the lotus feet, only the precincts. It's like they're not really, they approach the lotus feet, but they don't actually get the lotus feet. It's like being on the border of India, you know, and not actually getting, crossing the border, or even touching the border. So after thousands of millions of years, these yogis, these jnanis, they get to come close to the lotus feet, but never actually touch the lotus feet. And even after coming to that position, patanti yadho, they fall down again. Aruya krishna chena parang padam pada pashanti pashanti pashanti. This way. Aruya krishna chena padam. They fall down again at this material existence. This way. So why endeavor with great austerities and penances to achieve the perfection of yoga or jnana when you don't even get the highest perfection, and even that position you get, you fall down again, you see. Within one lifetime, you can immediately come to Krishna. Just by sincerely calling out to the Lord, by sincerely serving the Lord, by sincerely serving the devotees of the Lord, you see. Just be a devotee of Krishna. So what does it mean to be a devotee of Krishna anyway? I can just say, okay, I'm a devotee of Krishna, and to hell with all those devotees. I don't need them. I'll just come here for darshan. And I don't need all the devotees. I don't need guru. I don't need Vaishnavas. I just come here and bow down to Krishna. Is that sufficient? Well, what does Krishna say? Let's consult the Lord what his opinion is. He has the supreme opinion, the final opinion. He says, ye me bhakta jana aparata, na me bhaktista te janaha, mad bhaktanam cha ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. He says, my dear Arjuna, son of Prita, the one who is my devotee, na me bhaktas. He is not my devotee, but the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So you want to be a devotee of Krishna? Well, you better find a devotee you can devote yourself to, you see. So Prabhupada has very kindly made himself accessible, you see. We can all devote ourselves to Prabhupada. Is that enough? I had one godbrother. He only wanted to do what Prabhupada said. Didn't want to follow any of the other devotees. He went for a darshan with Prabhupada, and he was complaining about this devotee, that devotee, complaining. He was keeping a mustache also, and Prabhupada didn't like his mustache. He said, but Prabhupada, you had a mustache when you were a householder. Prabhupada said, that was before my diksha. Some devotees think it's okay to have a mustache and beard, but Prabhupada clearly states in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Lord Chaitanya objected to the beard and mustache and long hair of Sanatana Goswami. Clearly stated. So anyway, by becoming the devotee, this devotee, he was criticizing like anything. I just want to follow you, Srila Prabhupada. I don't want nobody else. And Prabhupada didn't like his attitude of criticizing all the devotees. So Prabhupada gave him an instruction. It was actually shocking when I first heard it on the tape years ago. Prabhupada said, earn money and enjoy. He told him to get out of the movement. Just go earn money and enjoy. That was the order Prabhupada gave him. And he did that. He followed Prabhupada's instruction. And he left. He was the first one I ever heard criticizing the GBC. He said, GBC means got a big chip. In English language, got a big chip means a chip in the shoulder attitude is very negative attitude. So he said, GBC means got a big chip. He was walking around criticizing the GBC. I was shocked. How you can criticize the GBC? Prabhupada said, these are my best men. You see? So just saying, well, I just want to do what you say, Srila Prabhupada, I don't want to follow the devotees, that doesn't work either, you see. Prabhupada told us to work together as a spiritual family, you see. We're a family, we're the Prabhupada followers. whether we're disciples, grand disciples, we are the Prabhupada Nugas, we are a spiritual family. Prabhupada explains that one of the six items of surrender is to become a part of a spiritual family. So in family life, we have to tolerate so many things. I think our householders know this one very well. But we also have to do this in the ISKCON family life, you see. We have to learn to work together and have wonderful, loving exchanges with each other as a lifetime pastime, you see. In this way, we become purified. And it's also confirmed in the writings of Narottam Das Thakur. He says, Anandi Bolohadi Bajavrindavan Shri Guru Vaishnava Pade Manjayaman. Ecstatically chant Hare Krishna. Worship Shri Vrindavan Dham. And always meditate with love on the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnavas. So not only is my spiritual master worshipable, you see, my spiritual Prabhupada, not only is he worshipable, but all of you, you're all worshipable, you see. All your lotus feet are all worshipable, all of you. You see, this is the prayer of Narottam Das Thakur. So in this way, by becoming the devotee of the devotees, the devotee of our spiritual master, the devotee of Krishna, then our hearts become completely cleansed of this heavily, heavily encrusted material dirt. This stool of sense gratification, which is so deeply encrusted within our psyches, you see. This will be cleansed away, and that day will come and we can see Krishna face to face. We can talk with Krishna. Prabhupada on one tape, he says, you can dance with Krishna, you can eat with Krishna, you see. That day will come. We can personally associate with Krishna as a liberated soul. So, I can ask now if there's some questions. Very good. Okay. Thank you for your wonderful class. It's Prabhupada's wonderful teachings. I'm just a stumbling, fumbling messenger. That's all I am. Why have we worshipped banyan tree? Prabhupada never engaged us in doing it. Even in Miami, we had the banyan tree. I actually asked Prabhupada how to worship the banyan tree. He said with the flower and incense, but he never did it. It wasn't necessary. It's there in the scriptures. There's so many things stated in the scriptures, but we do specifically what Srila Prabhupada engaged us in doing. I remember when I joined ISKCON, there was no Tulsi worship. And then Prabhupada introduced it, a new thing. After Mangalarti, Tulsi worship. And actually the first instruction he gave was Vrindayai Tulsi Devai Priyaye Kesavashan. Vishnu Bhakti. Prabhupada taught us to say Vishnu Bhakti Pradi Devi. It's there in the Veda base. The original instructions, he said Vishnu Bhakti Pradi Devi. I asked Dravida about this because he's the editor of our books. And he said, well, sometime in Vrindavan, Prabhupada said that we should say Krishna. But that's not documented. So I go either way. Whoever's leading the kirtan, if they say Krishna, I'll go Krishna. If they say Vishnu, I'll go Vishnu. But the way I was trained with the original instruction when Prabhupada introduced Tulsi worship is Vishnu Bhakti. You can confirm it in the Veda base where the original letters Prabhupada wrote how to worship Tulsi Devi. He said Vishnu Bhakti. So it's the same thing. Krishna is the original form of Vishnu. Say, well, we don't worship Vishnu. We're not devoted to Vishnu. Well, what does Vaishnava mean? Devotee of Vishnu. We say Vaishnava. That means devotee of Vishnu. Well, why are we devotees of Vishnu? No. Krishna is the original form of Vishnu. You see. He's a two-handed Vishnu with a flute. He's the original Vishnu. You see. And the other Vishnus are expansions from him. They're all Vishnu Tattva. Vishnu is a category. There's unlimited Vishnus in that category, and Krishna is the origin of all of them, Swayam Bhagavan. He is Vishnu Vishnu. Okay. Are our karmas predestined or not? Yes, your karma is coming to you according to what you've done in the past, and you're stuck with it completely unless you surrender to Krishna. And then he says, okay, I release you from your karma. One side it is said to do good karma, the other side it is said that karmas are predestined. Well, what does it mean to do good karma, to perform good activities? See, there's materially good activities like building hospitals and digging wells for villages. Those are materially good, but spiritually they're not very valuable. You'll come back in a village, that village in your next life to get the water from the well that you dug. That's your reward, sir. Or you'll get sick and get free medical care in the hospital that you open in your next life. That's your nice reward you get. But no, the really good karma, perfect good karma, you see, is to engage in devotional service. That will deliver you. So that your bhakti engagement, that's not predestined. That comes by the mercy of the spiritual master, by the mercy of the Vaishnavas. You get the opportunity to get out of karma chakra, to engage in the transcendental platform. So when you get the mercy of the spiritual master, don't look the gift horse in the mouth. Go for it. The spiritual master plants the seed of bhakti in your heart. Water that seed by regularly chanting and hearing. Keep the weeds out of illicit sex, meeting, intoxication, and gambling. And build a strong fence around your creeper by always being respectful to Vaishnavas. And this way, you will never, ever, ever even think offensively about devotees. What is the difference between japa and kirtan, loud and soft? Japa is soft to oneself. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Kirtan is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That's the difference. How can we practically apply this verse in our life? Bhoktaram jagatapasam. Just knowing this verse is not enough. This is a very good question. You have to stop trying to be the enjoyer. You have to offer everything to Krishna. You have to understand everything is for Krishna. Just like Prabhupada said that, see, a devotee gives up trying to enjoy women. Even householders, they're not allowed to have sex outside of procreation once in a month, you see. You have to give up this enjoying spirit. But Prabhupada said the devotee enjoys women by engaging in Krishna's service. And that way he enjoys women, you see. So that applies to everything, not only to women, to money, to whatever we may have, you see. We enjoy by engaging everything in Krishna's service. That gives the greatest happiness to the soul, because when your belly is satisfied, every part of the body becomes nourished. When you please Krishna, then you become pleased and everyone becomes pleased. Okay. I am a heart surgeon in Delhi. How to execute devotional service as I engage most of the time, day and night, in the atmosphere of death. So you have to, this is a very nice question, and I appreciate very much that a heart surgeon has come here today to Braj. The thing is, you have to remember, you should meditate very deeply on this great Acharya, Grihastha Acharya Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He was engaged also very intensely for the British government. He had the highest post possible for an Indian citizen to be a magistrate. So it was a very intense job, actually, very intense. And he was expert at doing it also. He was super expert. In fact, he was more expert than all the other magistrates. And if there's any trouble in some Hindu-Muslim riots in a village, the Britishers would send Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He was such a valuable employee, they built a railroad to his house. They laid rail track to his house just so he could come to work. I mean, that's how valuable he was for the British government. So it's not that a devotee can't engage in some material occupation. That's not true. Whatever material occupation you have, you should be very expert, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you see. And then in your whatever time you have free, you should preach Krishna consciousness. You should practice Krishna consciousness. So we hope that this heart surgeon will also be a devotee heart surgeon. In other words, we want to give everybody a heart. In this material world, we're all heart surgeons. Prabhupada has engaged us with heart surgeons. We want to give everybody a heart transplant. We want to take away your material heart and give you a spiritual heart, you see. So don't be only a heart surgeon materially, dear sir, doctor so-and-so. You should also be a heart surgeon, a spiritual heart surgeon, by replacing the material heart giving people Krishna consciousness. That's giving them a material heart. Why is it absolutely necessary to accept a spiritual master? Well, the scriptures say that we have to do that. If you study Sanskrit, you know there are different verbal endings. They have different meanings. It's like gachati, he goes. Gachanti, they go. The end turns it into plural, you see. So gachchet means must go. You see. This is called vidilin ending in Sanskrit. So the junction is, if you want to realize the absolute truth, there is no choice. Absolutely no choice. Eva bhagatschet, you must accept a spiritual master. That is Vedic conjunction. And we see practically, any advanced science, you require a teacher. And this is the most advanced of all sciences, the science of bhakti. So you must have a realized spiritual master if you want to realize the absolute truth. You're not going to get it on your own, trying to figure it out on your own. Prabhupada was asked by one lady in London, one Mataji, an Indian lady actually, not one of our members. Swamiji, just by reading books, is that sufficient? So Prabhupada said, no, don't make a guru in the air, you must have concrete guru. So you read the books, and the books tell you you need a spiritual master. Someone say, well, I'll just read Prabhupada's books and follow what he says, and that way I can go back to God. All right, then really do that. Prabhupada told us here in Vrindavan in 1977 that after his departure, the new devotees would become devotees of his devotees, disciples of my disciples. So if you really want to follow Prabhupada's instructions, follow the orders of Srila Prabhupada, then do it. Then be a real Prabhupada Nuga. Follow his instruction. Become a disciple of a disciple of Prabhupada. And then you're following Prabhupada's instructions. Otherwise, you're just following your own mental concoctions. Now, this is the last one now. Krishna is living in everyone's heart completely. Is Paramatma realization complete realization? No, it's not. When you come to the transcendental, you become fully realized, you see, Bhagavan realized, then you will experience who? Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santak sadaiva hidayeshu valokayanti yangsham asundaram achyanta gunasvarupam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami yangsham asundaram, not young paramatma. When you come to that level of prema bhakti, you will realize shama sundar is in your heart. See, the yogis, they will see the Paramatma, but the devotees, they will experience Shamsundar. And along with Shamsundar comes Srimati Radharani also. Radhe Sham. They will find Radhe and Sham right there in their heart. Radha and Shamsundar right there in their heart. So go for it. Don't settle for anything less. Forget about Brahman realization. Forget about the Paramatma realization, go for Bhagavan realization by strictly following the instructions of His Divine Grace. Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Paribhajakacharja Astatarasata Shishimad A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Good evening.